You have your Bibles, go ahead and be finding Psalms chapter number 17. Psalms chapter number 17. Now I'm going to read the first five verses, and we're going to talk about the continuing on staying on the path of righteousness. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 17. It says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thy eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proven my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night, and thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I'm purposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men by the word of thy lips. I have kept me from the path of the destroyer." Look at verse 5. "Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not." Father, just pray that you would bless the hearing and the reading of your word today, Lord. Use me, Lord, to preach what you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, I pray. I read this morning. A fella pulled his car over and asked this lady that was sitting side the road for directions to this certain town. And the lady said, "Well, if you keep on going in the path that you're heading, it's about 25,000 miles. But if you turn on this road, it ain't but about a mile." We've been talking about staying on the right path for the last three or four Sundays. And I love what the Bible says there in verse 5. It says, "Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not." Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? I want to say we're living in a world where it's easy to slip. So easy today to slip. You can be on your smartphone and just one key, and you're on a site that you know you're not supposed to be on. One flirt that goes a little bit too far, one mistake, just one bad decision, and then the consequences are often severe and often tragic. And we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, and the path of righteousness is a blessed path, isn't it? But from time to time, we need some help along the way. We need some support. And I'm talking about divine help today. We need help from the Lord today. And in Psalm 17, we see David in prayer. That verses of Scripture that I read is a prayer. And if you ever study the life of David, he prayed a lot. He made some mistakes along the way, but he prayed a lot, and he always asked God to seek his heart and to forgive him of his sins. Charles Spurgeon said this: "David wouldn't have been a man after God's own heart if he had not been a man of prayer." And that's so true. Prayer is so important in the Christian life. And in this particular song, David's praying about some personal attacks that he was experiencing, and it was a very dark time for David, a discouraging time for David. He was going through some things. He was going through persecution and pain that was caused by his enemies, and in these verses, we find him seeking the Lord for protection and for deliverance. And I want to tell you this morning, we all have an enemy. David's enemy at the time that he was writing this was Saul. Saul was saying things about him that wasn't true. But listen, we all have an enemy, don't we? And his name is the devil. And the Bible says that he is walking around seeking whom he may devour. And as we look at David's prayer this morning, there's some wonderful truths that I just want to share with you today. And I love the fact and the promise that God sees us. That's not my first point this morning, is that God sees us. If you'll look what the Bible says there in verse 2, the Bible says, "Let thy eyes behold the things that are equal." David knew, David understood that God's eyes always were looking at him. And David is crying out to a God who he knows sees him. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 15, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place." Do you believe that today? Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." The psalmist said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." I want you to listen. There's a God in heaven today that sees us. And listen to this, he knows who we are. He knows who we are. The background of this prayer, as I've already said, is King Saul was telling lies about David. But David knew the truth, and David knew that God knew the truth. And David knew that what was being said about him was without truth. And that's why he said there in verse 1, "Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of fringed lips." You know what that word fringed lips there, it speaks about fraud. It speaks about things that are untrue, not genuine, not real. And David wasn't putting on a show when he prayed this prayer. He wasn't trying to show off. No, listen, he was sincere. He was praying with his heart. He was praying with all honesty and sincere. Let me ask you something. How many of you know it's impossible to deceive God? I heard a mama tell her son one day that was hiding from her, "You might can hide from me and you might can hide from your daddy, but you can't hide from God." Isn't that so true? It's possible to deceive man, isn't it? But it's not possible to deceive God. We may fool others, but we can't fool God, can we? He sees. He knows who we are. We may put on a front with man, but we'll never put on a front with God. He sees us for who we are, and God knows if we're right. David said there in verse 3, "Thou hast proven my heart. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing." I couldn't help but think of myself as I read that. What does God see when he looks in my heart? What does God see when he looks in my life? You ask yourself that question. What does God see when he looks at me? Does he see sin that is cherished, or sins that are tolerated, or sins that are ignored? D.L. Moody, one of my favorite writers to Reed, used to say that if people went around, or if a photographer come around and was able to take a picture of your heart, that he would starve to death because nobody would buy a picture. Isn't that so true today? He's a God who sees who we are, and he sees us who like we are, and listen to this, he sees where we are. In verse 3 there, the Bible says, "Thou hast," look what it says in verse 3, "you have visited me in the night." You know, night in the Bible often means difficult times. And it was a difficult time in David's life. But God knew what David was going through, and he knew where he was in his life. If you'll look at verse 3, it talks about his omniscient eye. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he knows what you might be going through today. He knows that pain that you're going through today. He knows that worry that you might be going through today. He knows that need that you need today. He knows that burden that's on your heart today. He knows that sickness that you might have today. He knows the trouble that you're going through. He knows the trouble of an addiction that you might know somebody that's going through. He knows about the temptations that you're facing today. Why you say that, preacher? Because He knows who you are. And He sees you. Regardless of what you might be going through, God knows where you're at, and He sees you, and He cares for you. There's a story told about a king going to England to a hospital that was fixing to build a new wing, and all the children of that town came to see this king, and they sang for the king, and did all of that. And afterwards, a teacher saw a little girl sitting by a tree, and she was crying. And the teacher went up to her and said, "Why are you crying? Didn't you see the king?" And this is what she said: "Yeah, I saw the king, but the king didn't see me." And I got to thinking about that as I read that. Aren't you glad today that the King of Kings sees us? He knows what you're going through. He knows that trial. He knows that trouble. He knows that tribulation that you might be facing. He sees us. We might feel like sometimes that He never sees us, but He does. That old song said, "Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most, He's near." And isn't that so true? Just when we need Him the most, we not only serve a God who sees us, but listen to me this morning, we serve a God who supports us. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, "Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not." How many of you know that we serve a God that holds us up when we don't feel like going on, when we feel like we can give up, we need to give up? We serve a God that just comes along beside us and supports us. He holds up my goings, the Bible says. I couldn't help but think about that song, "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Listen, folks, this world in which we're living in, we walk sometimes through the darkness, and we walk the best we can, but we've got to come to an understanding that we serve a God that wants to direct your path, and He wants to teach us, and He wants to support us. He's a God that holds our hand. And listen to me, as I read this, I couldn't help but see that God supports us because there are slippery paths out there. Look what the Bible says in verse 5, "that my footstep slip not." My father-in-law tells a story about him being late for school one day. He was going to Dacresville, and he lived there on Banks Road and had to cross Hickory Nut Mountain to get to school, and he got to school late one day, and the teacher said, "Clyde, why are you late?" And he said, "Well, it's cold outside, and there's ice on the roads and on the path, and every time I'd take one step forward, I'd slide two steps back." And the teacher said, "That's impossible. If you took one step forward and slid two steps back, you'd have never made it to school." He said, "Oh yeah, I turned around and went back home." There's slippery paths out there. And that word "slip" is used there And it speaks about us wobbling sometimes in life, or falling, or being removed. It's speaking of the failures that we experience in this life. And listen to me, we live in a muddy world, don't we? So to speak. We live in a muddy world, and it's easy to slip if we're not careful. I've known folks that have fell in the mud, so to speak. I read this story about a rich man who was doing some interviewing for a driver for his stagecoach. This was back in the cowboy era, and he asked one how close could they ride or drive that stagecoach to the cliff without putting the riders that are in the stagecoach in danger. And one man said he could get a couple of feet from the cliff without getting anybody in danger. One man said that he could go about an inch to the cliff without putting the people in danger. But listen, the one that got the job was the one that said, I'm going to stay as far away from the cliff as I can. And I want to tell you, living in this world in which we're living in today, the Bible says that the paths are narrow, and it's kind of like we got a deep cliff on either side, and one slip can mean spiritual disaster, and all is needed is to be distracted for one moment, and it could mean that we fall, and we need to do like the man that stayed far away as he could. We need to stay on the right path. I just went fishing Friday with my son in a kayak. Can you imagine me in a kayak? And I outfished my son. But this is the story. I read about a man that rode his kayak down a whitewater river. And I'm not going to do that. But it was full of rocks and swift water. And he made it without falling or any serious harm whatsoever. And after he got out of his kayak, he was walking back to his truck, and he slipped on a banana peel and fell and broke his leg. Let me tell you this. Every step we take is important. Every step that we take as Christians must be carefully placed. One false step and we can slip. That's why it's so important to have God hold our hand. Notice, secondly, that David not only spoke of slippery path, but he talked about a supported path there. He prays there in verse 5 and he says, hold up my goings in the path. I love that word hold that David used there. It means to just take a person by the hand. You know, nothing makes you feel any better than to be walking with your children or grandchildren and or anybody. A teacher might be walking and a child come up to you and say, I want to hold your hand. Nothing makes me feel better than to be walking and my grandchildren come up to me and say, Papa, hold my hand. I remember walking up to the top of Table Rock. It's been about a year ago. And my grandson, Mason, I got a picture of it, him coming up to me and holding my hand. And I want to tell you something. It made him feel better that he had somebody's hand to hold. And it made me feel better knowing that I could protect him and hold his hand. And I couldn't help but think about that's the same way God wants with us. I mean, there's not a better feeling in the world to know that God holds our hand, but it's probably not a better feeling to God than to know that his children want to hold his hand. That old song says, precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. It goes on to say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. Man, I'm glad Thank God that one day when I take my last breath here on this earth and I cross that Jordan River, that there's a God on the other side that's going to take my hand and lead me on. Hey, listen, God sees us. He knows what we're going through. He's there to support us. And then last of all, I want you to see that God saves us. I love verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. Oh, that thou savest by the right them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against him. Listen, as I close, I just want to say this. Accept his mercy. The Bible teaches us that his mercies is renewed every day. And David asked the Lord there, show thy marvelous loving kindness. That's mercy. That word loving kindness speaks of his mercy. Accept his mercy. It's there every morning, the Bible says. Reach out for it. Grab it. Accept it. And then trust his power. Listen, we serve a God that's alive. You know, we hear that so often that it just goes in one ear and right out the other. But the tomb is empty, folks. I've been there. There's nobody in that tomb. There's no bones in that tomb. The Bible says on the third day that up from the grave he arose victoriously. And he went yonder to heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and you and you and me every day. David spoke of how God saves us by his right hand. And that right hand is a picture of power. I'm here to tell you today that God's able. He's able to help us. His hand is a hand of mighty power. When his hand is holding your hand, we're in good hands. So the path of righteousness is a supported path. And I couldn't help but think about the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. And it seems like I end up this way every time I preach, but when I was 27 years old and I got on my knees and I said, God, I don't know how to do it by myself. I was just simple as that. Lord, I don't know how to do it. I was a young daddy. I just moved to Pickens and I said, Lord, here I am. Take my hand. And he did. And I thought about it as I prepared this. I've turned loose his hand many a day. But he has never one time turned my hand loose. And I just want to say today that I love him. And I need him every hour. I need him to hold my hand. And let me be honest with you today. So do you. So do you. We need him every hour. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Invitation simple today. We serve a God that's able. And we need him. Especially in the day that we're living in today. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. I want to tell you, you need him today. You need to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, but you walked away from God. I'm here to tell you, you need him today. You need him to face the things that we face in our world today. Maybe you're here today and you just want to come get on this altar and pray and just ask the Lord to lead you in a certain way. You be obedient to him today. As we sing, you stand and come.